Yes, everybody. Chris Coates joins us from the West Coast in his travels. Coates, how you doing, buddy? You reached out to me this morning. You were obviously inspired about a lot of stuff. I know you have a lot on your mind and a lot on your plate. Talk to me, brother.
I think you do know that, TC. I hit you up early this morning. Dude, I was up at about 2 a.m. I kid you not. I know I haven't even filled you in on exactly what I wanted to talk to you about, but some things kept me up last night. You know, I started thinking specifically about the meat of this. Why am I competing so much? Why do we do it? Why do we love it? You know, even at the local chapter comp, specifically, we look at the comp and we say, the goal of this comp is to find somebody to go to internationals. But the truth is, that's one man's experience out of 31. And that 31st guy is there, and he has an experience as well that has merit. And that has, it's got meat to it. And there's things he's going to take home and learn from the competition. And my point is, the comps are bigger than that. They're bigger than just sending one guy from a chapter comp to internationals. I think they've become more than that. It's evolving. And I feel pretty passionate about this, and I want people to know it. It's not, these thoughts aren't coming from a place of of anger. It's I feel enlightened. I have insight on the matter because I have been going around so much, really the past couple of years. And I've talked to my wife, I've talked to other competitors at length about this very topic, which is the you know, what do we do about out-of-state climbers? What do we do? You know, what's the new mission statement? What's it going to become? Because this is what's happening. Out-of-state competitors are coming to local chapter comps. They're competing with guys all over the place. And I don't think the goal should just still be about sending a guy to internationals. It's bigger. I think the comps need to leave some room for them to evolve and change a bit. And so how does that happen? You have chapter comps right now that literally might have emissions. You know, part of their rules state that an out-of-state competitor cannot compete within the comp. My chapter has not still allowed competitors to be able to compete from out-of-state. And they'll give all kinds of reasons as to why they don't let it happen. And as a competitor, they don't make sense to me. And, you know, oftentimes you'll hear, we do this for you guys. And I'm like, look, I don't know if I really see it that way, because I've benefited so much personally from being able to go to these competitions, and I've had growth as a human being and as a climber, and I've helped other people as well. And I've been helped by other people. And that's why I say these comps are bigger. They're bigger than just sending a guy to internationals. They've become more than that. And I think that if people can allow themselves to be a bit more open-minded, and it's happening. This new segment, it's a wave of climbers that are coming through that have a different mindset about, you know, I don't care that you're from there. Let's, you know, there's a bit more of a togetherness. There are more comps that are happening that nobody asks, you know, what chapter are you from?
Right.
You get where I'm coming from with this, man. And it's honestly, this is coming from a good place.
No, I do.
Did I call it the swell? There's a swell right now, dude.
Bro, I think a lot of people are. I think a lot of people are looking for that wave to ride, man. I think you have a lot of. I think you have a lot of modern arborists that are coming onto the scene. They're able to travel. They're professional. Yeah. They're professionals. They're knowledgeable. And I think, you know, when I look back and I look back over the last 10 years of arboriculture, I remember watching competitions online, and I remember seeing these climbers, and it wasn't, it was a, it was a modern look. You had these really mobile people in these really great rigs, and they were traveling all over. I remember seeing the European competitions online and then the American competitions online, and you had all these.
You were inspired.
I was inspired because I said, wow, these people are Renaissance men and women. They're educated. They're athletic. I don't want to put – I don't want to, like, put it on a crazy pedestal, but it was like you really looked up to these people that were out there doing it. And I think that you're seeing – I think the competitions are – creating a space outside of work for these climbers to gather and to say, hey, I really want to push myself, and I want to push myself physically, and I want to push myself mentally, and I want to, you know, it's not it, there's people engaging at these competitions truthfully and honestly. And you know what you're seeing, dude? You're seeing climbers that a year ago were scoring 40 points that are coming back and making it into a master's climb a year later. You're seeing skills.
That's a lot of growth.
Skills grow so fast. And I think it's because the people that are there are very receptive to the growth. And then you have the people that are already established, great climbers, that are willing to share everything, you know. And all yes. egos aside, I really do feel like the best climbers out there are what make the next best climbers out there. And I think that you're seeing an evolution. You're seeing an evolution in the way that we educate each other. It's no longer about having to wait for a symposium or the international event. You know, you can go to these local chapter events, and there's people there, just to drop a name, like Mark Prez-Curet, who's there. He's set up. He's willing to talk. He's willing to educate passerbys, people like yourself, that are out there in the heat of things, sharing and coaching. And you know, to the outsider, it's a very quirky thing. But I think to the serious arborist, I think that the people that take advantage of this community, and I think that the people that take advantage of this hands-on experience, and I could speak personally, it has done volumes for my career. It has done volumes for my personal growth, for you
as a person.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. You know, I struggled. You struggle physically, you struggle mentally, and then you grow and you learn to
you battle through all that. Yep.
Totally. And like I said, I mean, I think there's even some arborists out there that may not get that, but I think that tiny little community of people that are involved, of people that are passionate about it, about competition, but not just competition, the community that sprouts out of that. I totally see this.
That's why I thought this conversation would resonate. I really thought for a second, I was like, maybe this is just, these are just my thoughts, but I know from talking to you, you feel the same way.
Totally.
This is a conversation that is often uncomfortable for people to have. And I've literally brought this up before with some folks, and I'm fearful of nothing, and that can get me in trouble sometimes. You know, I will say something in the defense of myself, or I will often defend others, and I'll get the shaft for it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But I'll never change. I'm going to keep doing it that way. But I feel that, you know, I was like, man, I feel like I'm in a dark corner, and I might be the only one to express an opinion this way. I might be alone, but that's not the case. I look around. I talk to guys. They have the same thoughts and feelings, but they're afraid to say something. And I'm like, let's be the voice right now. Sometimes you have to speak on someone else's behalf in order to get the word out and to express. I'm looking to express the feelings of a lot of climbers right now that go and compete outside of their chapter. And it's bigger and it's broader than people think or thought it was. All right. I can name to you right now easily 50 climbers that everyone knows that can has competed at a chapter and has either helped a chapter benefit, you know, that them and their climbers benefit from the knowledge tools and techniques that they have shared, and then they have also benefited, you know, and the personal growth that these things can be for people. And I'm spending so much time doing this stuff. There's a reason behind it, you know.
Right.
I want to help. I want to have an impact. I feel like in some weird way, some small way, I can have an impact on the world by doing this, right? And I really freaking feel that way.
No. And I think that there are people out there, and I'm not talking about just climbers. I'm talking about people that actually feel the same way about judging, that actually feel the same way about teching, that actually feel the same way about setting up a work climb. And you know what? When you go to certain events and you compete at certain events, you can tell the difference between an event that was set up by someone who wants to see people bring the heat and an event that was just kind of, you know, maybe lacking the volunteers that they needed. I think that's the best way to say it, because at the end of the day, someone is putting stuff together. Someone is spending their time, many times not being compensated. And you know what? If you're in a stressful point in life and you have to take on that burden and your head may not be in it the right way, that really shows.
That's tough. That's tough, and that's tougher than going in and competing,
totally,
in my opinion, in that state of mind, because the only person you'd have to manage is yourself if you're competing. If you're helping to run a comp, you're managing other people, and then you've really got to keep a check on your attitude when you're managing other people. That is tough.
Totally. I agree. It's I think it's something that I think it's really also a place where, you know, you can kind of take the latest and the greatest research and all the greatest tools, and you know, it's not just a place where you come and perform physically. Okay. I have had some great conversations just during gear check alone. You know, people questioning setups, people questioning wear and tear on gear. Well, what are you going to use this for? And, you know, when you have your gear inspected, questioned, your systems, your configurations questioned, it forces yourself to reflect and to say, wow, maybe I never did read the instruction manual. Maybe I just saw a picture online of someone using this setup and I thought it was okay. And what I'm learning is, as I go out of chapter and as I travel, is I'm getting more educated on the things that I am using. Why am I using them? You know, and how are they supposed to be used? And so I think there is a real intellectual value to coming out to this stuff, and you know, volunteering, competing, whatever it is, teaching, helping, mentoring. I think that go ahead.
And TC, I don't mean to jump in.
No, please,
dude. I'm totally with you. If I can double down on what you're saying and further than just beyond the technical information you learn, we talk about the mental game in a tree climbing comp, right? And how do you? I was telling competitors out here. I know of other guys that they'll train their butt off. They'll work their body until to the bone. You know what I'm saying?
It's like
at some point, dude, you have to put the weights down and then learn how to focus. Learn, you need to stop working out so daggone much and actually train your mind.
Right.
You need to train your mind there's moments where you will have mental breakthroughs. Okay. And you'll see things clear. You'll know how to relax in a stressful situation. And my hope is you're learning all that stuff out on the job and you bring that to the comp. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, that to me lately, I've been telling climbers that consistently is it's not your body that you need to work, but your mind. You need to clear your mind and stay relaxed and stay poised.
dude.
I want to get back to this because I don't want to keep you all day, and I got to get this out before I forget about it.
I know that a lot of people that are out there doing it, like a lot of people are participating in social media, a lot of people are on Facebook in the different forums, and you know, I'm specifically talking about spirit of the competition. I mean, I think that that's really one of the most relevant groups. Yes. And you're seeing people that are so excited about it. And you know, it sounds silly, but I really think that it just translates so well into the job site, the things that you learn.
Yeah.
When you talk about staying calm under pressure, when you talk about remembering your audibles, there's a reason for that. It's because they keep other people safe on the job site.
Yes.
You talk about aerial rescue and how to contact emergency services and how to deal with certain injuries,
these things translate.
And I think that when you watch a guy like Derek Martin or a guy like yourself or a guy like Jorge Orbando, or a guy like Chad Bray, Jared Arbogina.
Five of those guys are people that you named that often compete out of chapter.
And that's what I'm saying. When you watch these guys do a work climb or do an aerial rescue, there is no comparison. I mean, they are just wonderful to watch. And when you see that, you aspire to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking about all those guys you named. I thought about them yesterday. I'm out here, Jeremy Donovan, and I want to kind of bring it back to the climbers and the out of state thing. Because I mean, TC, you're another guy. You go and you compete out of chapter. We've gone and done some comps together and had a blast.
Yeah.
And I just know I see every time I hook up with you, I hear and I see things that you've learned and. I've seen you progress.
Totally.
You know, even though I don't give a shit about what the score sheet says after we're done. I've seen improvement in you.
Right.
And I've seen passion and a fire and growth in you. And that's what I'm saying. It's like from the first guy to the 31st guy.
Right.
You know, it means something to everyone. Everybody pays the same comp fee to get in there. They all go in nervous. And they all end up coming out with something. It doesn't even matter if it's the damn trophy.
Right.
You know?
No, we
all come away with something.
Dude.
But I really want to touch on the specific things that I want to speak about or ask folks to start thinking about is if your chapter, and I want people to hear this, who run comps and also to the competitors, I have a very forward-thinking idea with this, but if your chapter comp has it in their like mission statement or within their chapter rules that you cannot compete, out of state competitors cannot compete there, they're missing out. They're losing an opportunity to make their comp better. Okay. And it's twofold. Because you're also disallowing that competitor an opportunity for growth.
Right.
To compete outside of the chapter, and I see there's a circuit happening, you know. If you're a cyclist and you go on a circuit, but you think I want to go and freaking ride my bike one time a year? Hell no! I want to compete as often and ride my bike as often as I can to get better.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No. I think
and it's more than that too, because we get to hook up as friends and we're constantly together and learning and teaching and getting better and improving. Why not?
Right. No, you're seeing, and I also think too, there is a lot of great opportunity. I think when you have an out of chapter pool, you have more opportunity for help beyond what you can do. I mean, just for example, yes. In New York, yes. In New York alone, I remember as soon as the preliminary events were done, I looked over, I saw Nick Markley pounding stakes into the ground and setting up the Masters tree. Out of state guy. You yourself judged, helped set up.
A bunch of us were jumping in there.
You know, a lot of people were saying, basically, in more or less this way, thanks for having us. We want to help out in any way we can. At least that's the way I perceived it. And that's the attitude that I had when I was there is, hey, let me do something. Let me climb more. I want to climb more and help out. And you really see this attitude where it does become, even though our egos are present at the time of competing, I think that it really does become this community of, okay, I've gotten my fill. How can I help?
Yes. Yeah. That's a message. That ought to be a message to the folks that, you know, put these events together.
Right.
We might be out of towners, but we've traveled all the way over here. We've committed to this in a pretty heavy way, and I'm willing and ready to help out. You know, let me compete, like you say. Let me get my fill of that, and then I'll jump in and help wherever I can.
Right.
But you know, one other thing, I'm gonna hit on the mark here, and not everybody's gonna agree with me on this, but it's okay. That, like I said, it's forward thinking. But as climbers, real climbers don't give two shits about prizes. We don't give two shits about stuff. Okay.
Right.
And it irks me. I go to chapter comps and I get this vibe. They're like, oh, he's here. He's going to take my shit. And I work for a living. If I want stuff, I'll buy it.
Right.
And I mean that in the nicest way. But what we do come for, and there's merit in this, we are competitive tree climbers. We come to compete. We want to throw down with the best climbers that a chapter has to offer.
Right.
Why? To help improve our skill set, to help push ourselves.
Right.
If you know, and to deny that from a competitor, again, you lose all the benefits. And there's a lot of people that are, you know, they have excuses like, he's going to come over here and, you know, that might mean somebody else doesn't have a spot. Make the space. A lot of these chapter comps are going to two-day events, which allows them to, you know, relieve some of the stress throughout the day and know that they can get all the prelims done maybe on a Saturday and on Sunday get everybody through the Masters, you know. But and I think if they could plan it out that way, and a lot of chapters are, you know, they're figuring out a way to make it work.
Right.
But this is one thing, and again, I know this is forward thinking. It's something that I've talked to a bunch of people about, mostly my close buddies.
Right.
They agree. I don't need to get a trophy. It's nice. I definitely don't need to get a prize. If I get them, I'd be happy to give them back or give them away or however we can handle that.
Right.
But we want a shot to climb the Masters.
Right.
Okay. That's as a climber, if you are a rock climber and you went out to El Cap, you get all the way to El Cap and they're like, bro, are you from here? Are you from the Valley? I'm like, what do you mean? Are you from Yosemite Valley? Like, no, bro. Okay, well, you can't climb this rock because you're not from here.
Right.
It's like I came to solve that puzzle.
Right.
If I earned a shot at that tree, I know I can't represent the chapter. That goes without saying. We don't even have that discussion about that.
Right.
But it's like you want a chance to solve that puzzle.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. I think that I really do think you are seeing a new attitude with these competitions. Just one guy I've never Michael Kerwin. I see that guy everywhere now.
Yes, I'm loving that guy, dude. He's coming to Tree Jam Camp. He's a prime example.
He's a fantastic guy. He's a fantastic competitor. Just to throw that name out there, one of many. You know, I think of him though as I think of him. I think of you, and many others who I've recently seen out of chapter. And these guys,
tell me, Michael's not a guy that helps raise the ships, man. He pushed me, man.
They're good.
When I knew that he showed up, I was like, oh, Michael's here. Right. Dude is good. I better be on my game.
Right.
That's an immediate opportunity to know that I need to improve today. I need to be good today.
No. And
hell if I didn't rise, you know?
And you know what? Not for nothing, but guess what? Here's another reality of our industry. If you're working at a big company and there's five climbers or there's six climbers, and guess what? When it comes down to crunch time, when you get the big job, when you get the big crown cleaning or the big removal or whatever, and money is on the line, guess what? The best climber is going to be in the tree. And for me, I think that for me, that competition spills over into the workplace. And I'm not talking about being unsafe or working faster. I'm talking about working better, making better moves.
Check it out, TC. We're over here putting eyes on the Masters tree as we speak.
Oh yeah, dude, fill us in, man. Bring us some live commentary from Cali.
Jacob and Chad and Jeremy Donovan, Carissa Meckler, we're all kind of – they're judging me for being on the phone right now, but it is what –
Masters. I love it, man.
They got some bells hung high and spread out.
What kind of Masters tree are you looking at out there?
It's a really pretty little eucalyptus. We used it yesterday in the work climb, and they took in – I think Jared set this thing up last night. Looks like the plumb bob's pretty hard. It's about they've got straight up buzzer instead of a plumb gauge. The bottom of the plumb bob is, I swear, dude, it's like 2 inches. It's 2 inches from the I went on a podcast. And then they got the limb toss, bro, stretched out. There's no shot you're gonna do a good run on this tree without hitting at least 2 to 3 good redirects to get out to these stations safely.
Right.
If you want to own, I like to own on rope angles if you can, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Listen, man, I don't want to keep you. I want to let you get back to the community, but, I'm going to get off of here and try and get this published up as soon as I can. So,
I'm sorry that even as we were doing this thing, man, I'm a little I lost some sleep over it. I'm hoping that people feel me out on this. I know a lot of people feel the same way, but again, are often afraid to say something about it. I'm not a dick for sharing the way I feel about it.
Not at all.
But I know people have said sometimes you come off as a dick. I'm like, no, I'm saying things that other people might not say, even though they might be thinking it, and that the conversation's got to start. It's got to start because comps are going to evolve because we're going to make them evolve, okay? The game is going to change
right. Because
it ought to, because the culture is going to change. The culture is changing.
Right.
The comps that are happening right now, they're welcoming.
Right.
They are nice to – people are nice to one another. That it's getting better.
Right.
And I think that's what everybody wants. They want the comps to get better.
You know what I mean? Dude, totally. I think you bring up some great points, man. I know from everyone that I know, people have much love for you, man, and much respect because, you know, it's, you're not always, looking to compete. I know you do training, you help out with geezers, and you have a lot of different things going on. And I know if there's one person that really does give back, to the community, I know it's you. And I love to have you on as the co-host of the podcast, man. You always make my heart warm with good vibes, man. You just bring the good vibes every time.
The feeling is absolutely mutual, bro. We might not be blood, but we're definitely brothers.
Oh, dude, totally, man. Totally, bro. I'm so grateful for your knowledge. I'm so grateful for your enthusiasm and for your willingness to share your deepest and innermost thoughts and feelings with the community. That's
some deep shit. It's been a long time coming, bro. I told people a while ago, I was like, I got some thoughts I want to share. And
this is what the Arb Life is for. I want people to share their passion for the community. I want to be here for those people to share it. And this is the whole purpose of it. And I hope others will reach out and say, hey, I have something to say too, because guess what? The culture is changing. The game is changing. And it's because people are speaking up and they're saying things and they're doing things. And people are just really artists and inspirational in every way. And yeah. and I think that needs to be encouraged. I think it's important.
Hey, TC, we are telling anybody who listens to this podcast, you have our permission. Okay. If you feel like I'm saying, if you have a feeling about this, like we do, say something about it.
Yes.
You know, you have to be comfortable expressing yourself. I've gone around too long, you know, talking to people about stuff like this, and it doesn't ever get passed up to the powers that be, and people are too afraid to express the idea, you know, and I give you freaking permission. Go and do it.
Right.
Say what you need to say.
No,
Hey, Jesse Huffman's right here.
Yes.
What's up, Jesse? Better jump off here. I've got a
go ahead. Hey, listen, I'm gonna get this up in just a few minutes. So stay tuned. Chris Coates, thanks for joining us at the Arb Life podcast. I love you, brother.
TC, I freaking love you, dude.
Dude, we're gonna talk soon, man. I'm gonna see you soon. Hopefully I'll be at Internationals and we'll get to dance in front of that DJ, bro.
Ain't no hopefully. You need to make it or I'll die.
I'll be there.
All right. Love you, bro.
Love you, Chris.
See you, man.
See you, bro.